Hello, everyone. This is Chase Vergara again from USChoops.com, college basketball podcast. Still in transition period, so no bumper music or anything. But we again have another special guest, and I'm very excited because this is a coach who doesn't, we don't see a lot of interviews of, and I think there should be interviews of him. I want to talk to him. So, Coach Todd Lee, Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, Chase, great to be here. Thanks for having me. Look forward to talking about USC hoops.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to talk a little bit about your resume because for those who don't know, Coach Lee is really he's a coach's coach. He's been around, and we have the privilege of having an assistant coach who's been a head coach in college basketball before, which I think is great. I think you were originally from South Dakota, is that correct?
Yeah, I graduated from the University of South Dakota in 1986, and then I moved to San Diego. So I spent 6 years in San Diego, three of them at the University of San Diego, coaching there.
With Hank Egan, right?
Hank Egan, yeah, and Randy Bennett. So Randy and I were the two assistants. Hank was the head coach, and then from there, Coach Musselman played at the University of San Diego before I got there. And we ended up becoming friends and playing pickup ball together and going to dinner. And he offered me a assistant coaching job with the Rapid City Thrillers in South Dakota. So I went back and worked with him as his assistant coach. And back then he only had one assistant coach. So it was me and him. Coaching the team, and then from there I was in Bakersfield for 3 years, and then UC Irvine for 8 years as the associate head coach. So won a national championship at Cal State Bakersfield in 1997, then went to UC Irvine. So I've spent a lot of time in Southern California. I know a lot about USC hoops, the history of it. Not just UCLA basketball, obviously, but USC and the great players that our program has had over the years. And I've been coaching basketball for 37 years.
Wow, that's
12
so
years as a head coach at my alma mater, South Dakota, and then at a D2 school in Kentucky Wesleyan, who had won eight national championships before I got there. And so I have spent 12 years as a head coach.
So when that little mini tournament happened out in Palm Desert last year, at what point in Tom, I'm assuming, did you have anything to do with the scheduling of that you'd be playing St. Mary's, or was that just kind of coincidental and
Yeah,
St.
it was coincidental. In fact, the previous staff had set that up, and that tournament, we were told when Coach Muss was hired that we were going to be playing in Palm Springs. We didn't have anything to do with that, and just so happened that we opened up with St. Mary's, and then obviously we played New Mexico. But yeah, we didn't have anything to do with setting that up.
Well, I for one would love to see a rematch with St. Mary's, because I think we owe them a little bit back from that
No
game.
question. We did not play very well, and obviously our lowest point total. I can't even remember if I've ever been part of a game that we, scored that low of points. Would end up with 36 points. That's an amazing deal.
Well, I'll tell you the nice part about that, because I was there with my family. We're having Thanksgiving out in the desert, and to go to these games. The nice part about it was that I came away from those games going, oh my gosh, we're going to play the Big Ten now. Like, what's good that going to look like? And the transformation of the team just over kind of the remainder of the holiday season was just so drastic. Or even, I mean, the whole holiday season, even just getting through the Thanksgiving period of time, you guys really, I mean, especially the defense, you guys really made a drastic improvement on defense over that period of time.
Yeah, we did, and that tournament was a little bit eye-opening. But to our players' credit, to Coach Muss, our staff, I think We got a lot better, as you said, as we went through the year, and we came back from that and really felt like we could have beat Oregon. I watched that game the other day again, and it's if you get off to a great start in league, winning that game, and they were ranked, and we felt like we controlled the game. And we just didn't come away with the win. And then we went up to Washington and obviously blew them out and then came home and won a few games. So we bounced back from that tournament really well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a completely, by the time you got to that the Michigan State game at Galen, it was like a completely different team. Unfortunately, Desmond got injured in that game, and so that was kind of a bit of a stumbling block from there going forward. But yeah, the team had really transformed. So yeah, I guess we can get into that a little bit too. And I mean, I guess maybe I'll just ask you, when you're going through, when you're coming off that tournament with the St. Mary's and the New Mexico games, and those teams just on the court at that time, that your opponents just looking so much stronger than our team looked at that time. Were you guys already kind of starting to contemplate, okay, this is, there's certain kind of caliber of athletes we're going to need to really run the system we're going to want to run going forward? Was that kernel already planted there, and were you guys already thinking about, kind of roster construction for future teams?
Yeah, I think you do that all the time, and Coach Muss is really good at it. We came and we got here last year, and we got here in April, and the transfer portal was going on. At that point in time, we had to basically get a whole new team, and unfortunately, I don't know if you're aware of it, but in the past they used to have limits on the number of visits that
Oh,
you were allowed.
yeah. Yes.
And so when we got here, we had 4 visits left to put a whole team together
Oh, my goodness.
because the previous staff, had used them throughout the. It's a 2-year running thing, and they had used a majority of them, so we only had 4 visits, official visits, that we could do. And it's April, and we had to get a whole new team. So we did a good job of getting a group of players that were unbelievable young men, really good people. They're good teammates, did an unbelievable job in the classroom. We had the best GPA USC's ever had from men's basketball. And then we did it again this past semester. But yeah, I think the we were lacking obviously some size inside. Desmond came in, he played point guard. We could have used another point guard or guard. Those are the two things. We had a number of really good forwards or wings that were, 6'6" to 6'7" that Coach Muss really likes to have. But we were lacking some size inside, and we knew when we got into the Big Ten that the Big Ten is such a, I would say we coached in the SEC. The SEC is the most athletic league in the country and the best league in the country. The Big Ten is maybe more skilled than the SEC, and then they have bigger posts. Every team seems to have, 3 or 4 of them, strength, and also a lot of the post players are skilled. But it really helps to go through a season and see what the teams in the Big Ten, what you need to win, and the type of players. We knew that we were lacking inside, and we knew that we were lacking a point guard, a true point guard. Going into last year, but now we feel like we've done a good job of going out and getting post players. We're much bigger, stronger, faster. But you're right. We had to go through. You go through a year in the Big Ten. You figure out real quick what the type of players you need because every league is a little bit different. But we knew we lacked that going into the year, and then the games. In the desert, did show that. It's interesting because, we played Gonzaga in the same
I was
building.
at that game as well,
Yeah,
a month earlier.
and we beat them, and they were, preseason top five in the country. So, we've that's why Coach Musk likes to play those games. He likes to play really good teams. We played Texas. We opened up their building when we were at Arkansas. Coach Beard was there. We played Purdue in front of a sold-out crowd at Arkansas, 19,000 people. They were number one in the country. We beat them. We just, did the game at, out in Palm Springs against Gonzaga, and they're a top five team in the country. And we felt good after that game because both teams were playing to win, and they played their main players. But yeah, the Palm Springs tournament definitely was an eye-opening experience for us, and we learned a lot about our team.
And one other area, it's from my me watching, and I'm not a coach, but I have watched college basketball religiously for about 35 years. It seemed like a bit of some of the perimeter guarding opposing wings, some of the perimeter defense, the personnel wasn't like, I mean, perfect for that. I think like Desmond can do a pretty good job of guarding a wing. Him guarding a point guard's a little tricky for him. Wesley Yates was still kind of, I think, learning the game a bit. So him guarding wings. I was at the practice the other day, and I have to say, I mean, it was only whatever 48-minute practice, but Amarian Dickerson looked incredible. Just even his ability to guard, not just the rim, but he was guarding wings. He was, guarding point guards when he needed to. And you obviously have Chad Baker-Mazzara out there. I mean, it really seemed like you've upgraded kind of just some athleticism on defense on the wings as well.
Yeah, both those players are really good athletes. They both are quick laterally. And Marion Dickerson, as you said, athletically, he's as good an athlete as I've coached or been around. Not just a jumping, but I'm talking about quickness and first step and sliding his feet. He was eighth in the country last year in block shots. When he played as a junior college, he led the country in block shots. He's third in steals. We feel like he can guard multiple positions, just like Chad Baker-Mazzara can, and we feel really good about that. That not just guard wings, but guard the ball. And yeah, we've upgraded that for sure. And last year, a lot of the guards that gave us trouble were the quick, smaller guards. We just had some issues guarding the ball, as you said, and we definitely upgraded our ability to guard the ball and also block shots. So Gabe Dines led the entire country in block shots. As I said, Dickerson was eighth in the country in block shots. And so we've gotten more athletic. Rim protection was also an issue last year. So probably a bad combination, right? Guarding the ball and then no rim protection. So we feel like we've addressed both of those areas.
So what, you brought him up, obviously I think coming off of last season, the rap on Gabe Dines is, look, he's amazing shot blocking. Is he going to be able to hold up with the physicality of a Big Ten? Is, can he avoid getting pushed around a bit? I mean, the trope always is, oh, he just needs, this big guy just needs to add some weight. Well, realistically, it's not that simple. You want him to add the right weight. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. How do you feel like Gabe is progressing as you've seen him so far? Obviously, it's very early. And what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far with him?
Well, the great thing is, Andre is our strength coach, and he doesn't Andre Mattson does an unbelievable job. And what you just said is exactly right. He doesn't want to put a bunch of weight on him, quickly. He wants to do it, so it doesn't affect him in a negative way. And Andre said that. And he coached, Andre was a strength coach with Golden State Warriors. He's been with the Knicks, the Charlotte Hornets. He said that Gabe Dines is the most coordinated player he's ever seen at that size, you know, above 7 feet. He is very coordinated. He does catch the ball. He shoots the ball well. Obviously, it's a step up from Youngstown State and coming into the Big Ten. And the thought is, can he handle playing against bigger, stronger post players? Because he's going to have to do that in the Big Ten. And so he works hard. He's up here working out all the time. He's in the weight room with Andre. He's changed his body some already. You can't teach 7'3", actually 7'3½ with no shoes on. And you know, timing and blocking shots is a skill, and he does a really good job of that. It's just a matter of how much pounding he can take and going up against bigger, stronger post players. So he does work hard, and he's working on his body, and he's in the gym all the time. So great young man.
We'll run through some of the new guys on the team. I mean, clearly, probably you guys can't comment directly on this, but from all the reports, a lot of priority was placed on getting Rodney Rice. He's kind of became a little bit of like the linchpin of getting, to make sure you had stabilized the team when guys are leaving for the transfer portal. A big get at the time. It really struck me seeing him in that practice and in the press conference afterwards, kind of a very stoic demeanor. I think it looked to me at least like he's wanting to assume a big leadership role on this team. Could you tell when you played Maryland last year that, like, gosh, this is a guy that, we would be very interested in getting if possible, if he entered the transfer portal?
Yeah, Rodney's one of the most skilled players in the Big Ten, one of the best shooters in the Big Ten. He's got a Big Ten body, big, strong guard. He can play both the one and the two. You know, he didn't play a lot of one at Maryland last year, but he's going to have a ball handling role for us more. That he's really, really good at coming off pin downs, double screens, coming off handoffs. He's really hard to guard. And you noticed it in the press conference, Chase, about, you know, his maturity. You know, he's very, very mature young man. He won at Maryland last year. You know, he's been at Virginia Tech, and then he went to Maryland. And his dad was a player. He's a leader. Comes to practice very professional, works on his game religiously, just always in the gym, always getting shots up. He can create his own shot probably better than anybody we had last year. I know Dez was a downhill, get downhill guy, and then Wes could create his shot some. Rodney can create his own shot better than anybody we had last year, but he's going to be both on the ball, off the ball. He's really, really good at coming off screens and handoffs and reading screens. And you've got issues because you can't go underneath on ball screens because he shoots it so well. So he's been playing a lot of the point in practice.
And just transitioning to a player that has maybe the most opposite personality, Chad Baker-Mazzara. I don't know when did he, he's playing in the Final Four. You kind of, always hearing about him during the season. I think he and Coach had even got into it a little bit back during the Arkansas days. When did he kind of come on your radar as a transfer candidate? It was a kind of a surprise. I mean, I don't know anyone had even thought that he was looking at USC. And when you saw the opportunity, were you guys like, oh, if we can get this guy, we definitely need to get him?
Yeah, and you know, Coach Musk coached the Dominican national team. So, and we there was a connection when he decided to go in the portal. We got a call from somebody that was very close to him that called Coach Musk and asked if we would be interested. And this is right after Desmond, you know, decided to put his name in the portal. So Coach Musk, our staff, has a relationship with somebody that was close to him, and once he decided to put his name in the portal, we played against him, obviously, at Arkansas. So he knew his game. Again, a player that Coach Muss really likes, that, long, athletic, 6'6", 6'7", guard multiple positions, tough, competitive. Chad, when we played against him at Arkansas, he's one of those guys that you hate to play against, but then you like him on your team. That's how I would describe that. I mean, he is an emotional player. He's very competitive. He plays with with some emotion, a lot of passion, which Coach Muss likes. I mean, that's how Coach coaches, and so that doesn't bother anybody on staff at all. It's just a matter of making sure it's the right, passion and the way he plays. But it doesn't bother Coach if you're competitive and you play really hard. Coach wants you to be yourself, and Chad's one of those guys that coach, and they kind of have similar personalities from, a competitive standpoint. So, yeah.
And for those who, I mean, if you can actually see him in person, if you haven't seen him, I mean, he is long. I mean,
He's
he's a
long. Yeah.
long.
When he first walked in the gym, and we coached against him at Arkansas, but then when he came, he signed, or when he came, here, and he walked in the gym, I'm like, he looks, yeah, he looks taller than the last time I saw him. He is a long athlete. He led the SEC in free throw shooting last year. He shot 90%. He was the second leading scorer on a final team that played in the finals. And he's been around really good players. He's played in the best league in the country. He was second team all league in the SEC. So he's a very good player. And again, somebody that Muss loves because he can guard multiple positions.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about Ezra. Is it Azar, how he pronounces his last
Yeah.
name?
Yeah.
He wasn't, for me, wasn't, I didn't watch a ton of Big 12 last season just because of the transition to the Big 10. I was really
Yeah.
focusing on that and the SEC because it's such a huge year. But Ezra had a really nice run to end the season. I think he ended up getting a little banged up toward the very, very end, but he was averaging like 17 and 7 down the stretch for Utah. Obviously playing in the Big 12. I think he had transferred in from East Carolina. I think he was kind of just finally getting his feel for what that league was like, and he became kind of a monster down low. He has a really surprisingly strong, for a guy you might think of as a power forward, he has a really nice handle. He can really get to interesting spots on the court, can break down defensive players. So maybe you guys, what was your scout on him, and what were your thoughts on him when you saw him?
Yeah, he, watching him on film doesn't really do him justice. You have to see him close up and to see how quick his first step is and how explosive he is. So he is really, really good 17 feet in, facing up, and just attached. He's really hard to guard, and he's really physical. So, coach loves guys like that too. Ron Artest, he compares him to Ron Artest all the time because how they're about the same size, strength. Ron was a great isolation player. Coach used him that way when coach coached him. And, if you put him at the elbow, you put him at the mid post, facing up, ripping, attacking, he's really hard to guard. And you're right, he's got a handle. So he can attack and he can counter. He can, he can put the ball between his legs. He can make a move as a counter. The one thing we also put a lot of emphasis on, or we want, are guys that are high FTA guys that get to the foul line. And he got to the foul line around 180 times last year, and he got fouled a lot. And he's shooting the ball. Right now, we're working on his shot, expanding his range. He's a good 17-foot shooter, and he's going to be a better free throw shooter this year. We can already tell because he's really shooting it well. We're expanding his range, but really good rebounder, extremely physical, extremely explosive, great first step, and he's going to be a matchup issue, whoever, because fours are going to have a hard time guarding him because he's so strong. And if you ever went small ball with him, he's strong enough to guard a post, but they aren't going to be able to stay in front of him. If you ever go small ball and have him, play the five, but he's a power forward. That's what he is. He's a powerful forward. That's, and he's going to get better because we are working on his shot, and he's already shooting the ball much better than he shot it last year. And it's big. If you get to the foul line, you got to knock down your free throws, and we want him shooting up in the mid to upper 70s from the line, which would be about 10% higher than he was last year.
And I'll tell you another thing. He is one of the most surprising personalities when you start talking to him. Very outside the box kind of thinker. It was really fun talking to him.
No, he's very intelligent. His family owns a business in Atlanta that he helps run that. He's got other areas outside of basketball that he's involved in. I mean, he's a very interesting young man. And I knew the coaches at Utah because Craig Smith,
Right, he preceded you, right at
I took over after Craig went to Utah State.
yeah.
And then Tyler Larson was on his staff. And then Matt Lopez was our video coordinator at Arkansas, and he was on that staff. So we spent a lot of time talking about Ezra and his personality and his life. And, and again, very a type of player that's very competitive, very athletic, very tough. Feel like, again, we've upgraded our physicality, our strength, our size, and he's a big part of that.
Kind of rounding out the front court, Jacob Kofi from he transferred, he's from the like Seattle area, I believe, but transferred in from Virginia. First thing that jumped out to me watching him was, because you guys had them with all the players jumping out, guarding the perimeter, he does not move like a five or even a four. He really seems to move like a three. Very athletic, very skilled, quick guy. Still young. I think he's probably, developing his full scoring package, but he seems like a sky's the limit type guy.
Yeah, he is. He's very talented. Coach Conroy, obviously, knew him since he's watched him play growing up. And great young man. You're right. He doesn't move like a post player at all. He moves like a wing, but he's got the body of a post. He's very strong, very athletic. He's also improving his shot. He works really hard on it, and we've worked on it with him. And he's getting better and better at shooting the basketball. He's another player that we can put in isolations. We can have him face up. He's going to, and he can counter also, make a move and go the other way, whether it's with the ball or drop steps or step throughs. I mean, he's athletic. And so he, as you said, sky's the limit with him. He's just a sophomore. So, played his freshman year at Virginia, and he's been one of our better players in practice when we've gone live, and he can play, multiple spots. He can play the four, and again, if you want to go small ball five with him, he can play the five. He's strong enough to guard a five, but then he can step out and shoot it, and he can bounce it. And those are the type of players that you want. You want, when you sometimes post players are, if you can find them that are strong enough and tough enough to guard a big post, but then they can step out and take advantage of being a perimeter, bouncing the ball, shooting the ball. Those guys are really effective, and that's what Jacob is.
Jaden Brunell from Samford is also part of this transfer class. Very interesting kind of season that he had. He played for Bucky McMillan at Samford. I think he actually played just under 20 minutes a game, but if you look at his per minute scoring, it was extremely high. I mean, higher than even like St. Thomas had in Northern Colorado. Like he was scoring the ball a lot when he was in the minutes he played. Was getting rebounds too, high block rate, good at steal rate. What are you guys looking for from him for this upcoming season?
Yeah, it's interesting because the way they played at Samford, they played 10 guys, or 10, 11 guys, and they rotated them in. So you're right. He didn't play a lot. He played 20 minutes, but he averaged 14 points. He was a really, really good offensive player. I don't have the exact amount he averaged, but that he was, he had big games. I talked to Coach McMillan about him after he got the Texas A&M job, and he said, Todd, he's one of the best shooters you'll ever coach. He's one of the best shooters I've ever coached. He's bigger than you look at him. He's got a good base to him, strong legs. He's stronger than you would think. But he's really, really skilled. We had him in a guard workout the other day, and he was handling the ball as good as our guards. So Coach McMillan said, Todd, he'll come in a game and he'll just rattle off three threes in a row like nothing. He goes, he shoots the thing, and he's one of those players that the way they shoot the ball, you don't say anything to him about anything. Like we talked about trying to get Ezra's shot a little bit better, and Jacob, you talk to him, you work with them, you talk to him about, you take film of them, hey, this is where your elbow should be, this is the arc. You don't say anything to Jaden about his shot, you just let him shoot it, because it's gonna, you think it's going in every time he shoots it. So his deal will be 4 or 5. Can he who's he guarding? Like who's his matchup that he can guard? Because offensively, he's really good. Not just shooting the ball, but he can also bounce it. He can also shoot mid-range and floaters and pull-ups. He's a really, really good offensive player. And he's a great pick and pop guy. He's going to stretch the floor. He's got deep range, NBA range. So it's just a matter of who he's going to guard and, what position is that? Once we get more into live play, we'll get a better feel for that. But from a skill standpoint, an offensive standpoint, he'll be as skilled and shoot it as good or better than any post player in the Big Ten.
So obviously, Coach Muss has a reputation of liking the longer players, taller guards, but not always. And I mean, there have been exceptions of guys he's recruited have been smaller. He obviously had a relation, played Coach Earl Boykins when he was a player for the Warriors, and now we have Jordan Marsh on this team coming over from UNC Asheville, a huge scorer at that level, very popular basketball in that area for mid-major hoops. What have you seen from Jordan so far? What were your thoughts when his availability in the portal and recruiting him? Just talk a little bit about that whole process.
Yeah, a smaller guard, there needs to be a few things that they have to do. One is shoot the ball. It's hard to play if you're small and you can't shoot. Jordan shoots it way better than I even thought, because we've done a lot of workouts with him. What time allotted. He shoots it way better than I thought. He's really fast, really quick. Andre, who we talked about, our strength coach, said his numbers are through the roof as far as explosion and quickness, and he said NBA guard type. He works on his game. You've got to be able to shoot the ball. We talked about it. You better be really tough. I mean, Earl Boykins, who's on our staff, is literally 5'5", and played all those years in the NBA and had 5 straight years of double figure scoring in the NBA. I mean, you have to be so tough as a small guard, and you better be quick, active, tough. And so what Jordan needs to do, he's going to have to be able to guard the ball one-on-one. He's going to have to pick up full court. Coach has already talked to him about it. You're going to have to be a pest in that. You're going to have to, any guard like that, whether it's Muggsy Bogues or, Earl Boykins, you better be the toughest dude out there. You better be the quickest, the most active. The one thing about Jordan, he does have a lot of steals. So he does get in passing lanes. He's very active defensively. We've seen that in live play. So he is active defensively. But his size in the Big Ten, and he's going to have to make up for it in other ways. One is shooting the basketball. Two is guarding the ball. Three is activity and playing with a high motor. And so he is really skilled offensively. We talked to the coaches in that league, and they said he was offensively by far the best guard in their league. And now it's an adjustment. He comes, Chase, he comes up, to the Big Ten. There he could probably, he knows he's going to get X number of shots every night. And here he's going to have to do some other things along with, shooting the basketball and scoring because he is a good scorer. So again, it gets back to who do you guard? And you have to do the things that small guards do. And if you don't, then it's hard to play. But he's definitely talented and he definitely can shoot it way better than I thought, and putting him through workouts. He's a really good shooter and he just has a knack to get in the lane and he did get fouled a lot, had a lot of high steals. So he's a high FTA guy and he's a high steal guy, which Coach Muss likes.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I did want to just throw out a couple names. I think he signed, so you can talk about him, but he was waiting on his grades still when I was at practice, which is Ryan Cornish from Dartmouth. And then maybe just a little bit about Jerry Easter as well, because sometimes he's the forgotten man, it feels like, when hoops is discussed, because he's the freshman that signed early. So if you can talk about those guys.
Ryan, signed a little bit later, so he still hasn't practiced. He's getting his medical clearance done. And once he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go. I would say if you think about, he's 6'4", a good rebounder, a really good mid-range game, a good shooter. He's got some toughness to him, what we've seen in just like him being, around our guys, and he works out all the time. And watching his film, he can really get in the lane. He's got a step back. He's got a, he gets his own shot off floaters. He does shoot it really well. So, and he's going to have to play a ball handling role also. He played a little bit more too last year. But he's going to have to handle the ball for us, and but he's got a really innate offensive ability. So we're excited about him. And then Jerry Easter, I don't know if I've been around a freshman that one. We Andre did a conditioning test with our entire team, and Jerry won it.
Wow.
And it's basically at test that he did with the Golden State Warriors where you run until people just drop off and it's sprints and you've got to just keeps going until everybody just I'm out ba basically tap out Jerry as a freshman won that was impressive. The other thing about him is he's in the gym as much or more than anybody. He lives in the gym. He's up here shooting with our GAs when coaches can't be up there. He loves to work out. He's strong, good athlete, shoots the ball good. He's working on trying to shoot it great. We think he's going to be a good defender because he does have a strong body. He can move his feet. And so, it's like everything else, freshmen are freshmen, and we had a practice today, and he looked like a freshman, and two or three days before that, he looked great, but today, had some issues just remembering some plays, and just looked like, but that's what freshmen do, but he works really hard, and he's a good athlete, and he's tough. Obviously, if you win. Those conditioning tests are always just about mental toughness, and he won the thing. So that says something about his makeup.
That's very interesting. Just say on Ryan Cornish very briefly. First off, if you see him, if you see pictures of him, you're not going to know right away that he's a basketball player. But his play is very different than that. I don't know if you even knew this, but like some of the advanced metrics for defense, he was number two in Ivy League for adjusted team efficiency defense and the Bayesian defense performance rating. So his defense was, really, I mean, apparently it's hard to tell from these advanced analytics sometimes, but at least on the algorithm, his defense looks really stellar. So he might be able to add something there.
Yeah, I think so. And again, rebounding, he's a really good rebounder. Even though he's a good shooter, obviously if you're going to play defense, you got to be tough. And he did guard the ball well, and then he also got in the lane, as we talked about, and was able to get his own shot off or get fouled a lot. So yeah, he does have some toughness from that standpoint. So we're looking forward to, adding him to practice and seeing what he can do. And obviously, Terrence Williams is hurt, and we miss him. We're hoping that he gets back at the end of summer. He's at every practice. He works out on his own every day at 6 a.m. with our GAs. He's just working on his left hand because he's still can't shoot with his right. But we do miss Terrence, and he was a big part of our team last year, and he's started in the Big Ten for 3 years, and he's a guy that can stretch a defense, great in the locker room, very smart on the floor, doesn't make mistakes, knows where everybody should be. So we're looking forward to getting Terrence back.
So I guess, Coach, the last question I'll ask you is now. I mean, it's only been whatever a week and a half or whatever it's been, but seeing these guys in person from the players that are available, and you see them, what is probably the thing that has surprised you the most over the last couple of weeks of coaching these guys?
I would say that the athleticism of, Omarion Dickerson and Ezra, and Jacob, and the size, just it's, last year, we went out, 'cause I would always go out, and we meet as a staff, and I'd go out and watch the other team warm up. I watch our team warm up, and we're just way more athletic and bigger, faster, stronger than we were last year, and feel like we have a team that's more built for the Big Ten. 20 games, sold out arenas. We feel like we've got a much better team, a much deeper team. And it's more of what, we needed from a size wise and post. And even our guards are big, so Rodney's big strong guard. If you slide Omarion Dickerson down there, that's big, long athletic guard. Chad Baker Mazzaro, same thing. So I feel like we're much more equipped to be a better team, compete in the Big Ten better. And now we've also got a season under it, and then this is the we're the first year in the Big Ten as a staff too. So how teams play, what to expect, the arenas on the road, the travel, we feel like we're much, further along. I mean, it's an adjustment for our staff also, but now we've been through a season in the Big Ten, and we just feel like we're much more equipped to compete than we were last year. Although we did compete, and if we go back, it comes down to so many games. If you just, if we, make some free throws against UCLA at home, we win that game. We could have beat Oregon at home. We were on the road, lost to Northwestern last second shot because, Desmond didn't play. If you win those three games, you're probably in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
It's
No, and the Minnesota game too was
Minnesota game, and that game we led from start to finish, and kind of like what they did against UCLA. They hung around. So those are four games that we definitely could have, should have won. And if you win three of those four, you're in the NCAA tournament. These games, In our league with 20 games, they're going to come down to, and coach preaches this all the time. Mus is always talking to our guys. The games are going to come down to one, two possessions. And that's why we can't take any possessions off. We can't have bad possessions. And so you ask what surprised me, probably just some of the athleticism and size of our guys. We feel good about that.
Yeah, and if anyone who's listening, I would, don't just do it for yourself, but recommend fellow Trojans, other basketball fans, go and see this team live when we get to November. I think even if there are times when it's not perfect basketball, this team is going to be exciting to watch. This is just based upon what I've said. They're very athletic, very long. I think this is going to just be a fun brand of basketball to watch. And I would really encourage people to get out to Galen, try to watch them as much as possible, because I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch the team.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and we're excited about that. And then, we're going to have an early test going to Maui and playing over there, which is a great tournament. Again, it's not going to be a season. We played over there a couple years ago with Arkansas
Yeah.
and San Diego State. So we beat Louisville, then we lost to Creighton, and then we beat San Diego State. San Diego State went 1-2 in that tournament and ended up playing in the final game.
Yeah.
So always a great tournament early. We talk about early tests, or whether the Palm Springs last year, it'll be a early test for us and give us a gauge of what we need to work on. And but it's really a great tournament, and we're hoping that we have a lot of Trojan fans come over for that. It's a unique environment, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I will be there, and everyone should. I mean, look, it's Maui, right? I mean, we're talking about Lahaina. No excuse not to get out there. USC people, I mean, the relationship with Hawaii is legendary, so people really need to get out there for this tournament. Coach, I don't want to take up too much or any more of your time, so I really appreciate you joining us. It's been great to talk, and hopefully one day in the future we'll be able to do this again.
That'd be great. Thanks, Chase.
Thank you
Appreciate you
very
having me.
much. Thanks, everybody.